Good afternoon. Scott Spears back with you on this Tuesday, February 26, 2019, 17 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. And get set. We're going to have a great hour this hour because there is a gentleman who recently turned 100 years old. He is a World War II veteran, and he is currently on a no regrets tour around the United States in an RV to meet governors from all 50 states. Now, you can track his progress on the internet by going to GoSydneyGo.com. That's GoSydneyGo.com. He's taking this trip with his son, Paul, and we're so glad that he is able to join us today, Sydney Walton. Sydney, how are you?
Hey, Dad. How you doing?
I'm feeling quite well. And
yeah? You feeling good today?
Yes, I am.
Yes? You're in Washington, D.C. today, Dad.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful day, isn't it?
It is.
Apt.
You know, I got to tell you, it's been quite the celebration. The last 2 weeks we've been celebrating his 100th birthday. It's been amazing.
Now, what is the secret to living to 100?
It's in the sauce. It's like a secret sauce. You know, I tell you, every day, just getting up and going out and enjoying life, I think that's really the secret, Dad, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Being positive.
Yes.
And just relishing in the moment and say, wow, it's a gorgeous day. Let's go outside.
Yes.
And when you eat, eating in moderation, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And my dad really rails on people that smoke. If you still smoke today, please give it up and try to live a longer life, right?
Right.
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 That's what you would say, right, Dad?
Yes, I would say that.
Absolutely.
See? I'm becoming more like my dad every day, aren't I?
Well, tell us how this trip with father and son all got started.
Oh, geez. You know, I thought my dad was old when he was 94, so I gave up my job thinking, hey, maybe 3 months, 6 months, but I want to be there. I want to be there and show him the world that he saved, the country that he saved, the United States. So we set off and embarked on a journey. And I took him to 30 different countries and started taking him all throughout the United States. And guess what? He started living and enjoying every moment and wanting more and more. 6 years later, now 100 years old, it's unbelievable. But last year was the turning point when he was 99. And we said, Dad, do you have any regrets in life? He says, yes, son. And with my two sisters, Judy and Ellie, he said, I never met Civil War veterans when I was young. I said, hey, Dad, how about if we spend most of your 99 years and when you're 99, spend most of the year and into when you're 100, and why don't we make up for that regret and put yourself out there, and how about allowing yourself, for anyone that's never met a World War II veteran, to avail yourself and make it possible. And he says, son, let's do it. So we set off on this No Regrets tour last April. We've met 19 governors so far. We've met thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. And we have 31 more governors to go. Right, Dad?
Right.
Are you up for it?
Yes, I am.
You think you are?
Yes.
And we've been doing it on fumes. My dad's government pension. We've been flying a little, running an SUV. But now we're going to kick it up a notch. And if there are some generous people out there that want to make a little donation to that website, GoSydney.com or GoSydneyGo.com, we're going to maybe get a big recreational vehicle, not an SUV anymore, Dad, an RV, and go in style and where you're comfortable.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
and maybe we'll go to the great state of Ohio.
Ohio.
You want to go to Ohio, Dad?
Sure. Why not?
Well, let's do it.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go to Ohio in style.
Absolutely. Now, Paul, what has been the reception in the states you've been in so far?
I got to tell you something. The reception has been amazing. And it's, if you can believe it, it's only getting better. The first 19 states, you know, I've had to make calls and send letters to the offices of the governor and convince some, and we've been doing it. Well, now things are turning around. And you know why? This is the pivotal point. Because on Dad's exact 100th birthday, February 11th, they put him on the Today Show live, and they sang happy birthday to him. And wait, it gets better. The mayor's office threw a big party for him at 10 in the morning that day, covered by a lot of news media. David Muir of World News Tonight found out and put him on America Strong on that Monday, February 11th. Mm. Wow. And even Wikipedia now, push in Sidney Walton, it comes up Wikipedia. And then we went to the governor's convention over the weekend. Governors came up to my dad and said, when can he come to our state? Right now I have, and also the governor of Ohio met Dad, the new governor, and wants us to come to the largest city in Ohio, the capital.
Yes, Columbus.
It's the one on Columbus, Dad.
Columbus.
You know where Gahanna is, and High Street, and Long's Bookstore used to be.
Oh.
Columbus. So now the reception's amazing. Now we can pick and choose what states we want to go to next, and hopefully our big RV. Doesn't that sound good, Dad?
Sounds great.
Mm. And you're going to meet thousands and thousands of well-wishers along the way. And you know, I got to say, Dad was the honorary captain of the coin toss at the Colts game on November 11th, Veterans Day, there in Indianapolis. He was given a shout-out at the Dallas game in December. Jerry Jones put him on the field. The Boston Bruins gave him a shout out November 4th at the Garden. It's getting bigger and bigger. And when we come into Ohio, who knows? Maybe we'll end up at the Cavaliers game, huh? You just never know.
You never know. It sounds like a great thing. What is it like to travel at this pace at 100?
Well, I'll tell you something. I always thought this would never happen. The pace of travel hasn't really stopped. It just keeps on going. Sure, there are, you know, a little bit more challenges here, and sometimes I require a little help getting my dad in and out of the vehicle. But other than that, we just keep going and going like an Energizer bunny. For example, last night, we were out till midnight at the Willard, a very famous place in Washington, D.C., and before that, we were at a party at the J.W. Marriott. Every day, there's something going on that keeps my dad up till midnight. Even the Pentagon welcomed my father, and it was supposed to be just an hour. It was 4 hours. Generals were coming out of the woodwork wanting to meet my dad. It was just absolutely heartfelt, amazing. And we're, you know, I don't know who's having a better time, Dad. You or me. But we're having a great time together, and I wish you could see Dad right now with his balloons that say 100 on it. If you see the website, GoSydneyGo.com, you'll see pictures of him with his balloons. And it's just incredible what's happening. And we're spreading the message of the dwindling numbers of World War II veterans that are out there. And there's one that's willing to go to all 50 states, and that's what we're doing. And we're going to come to a state, your state, and a state near you.
Mm. It's a tremendous, tremendous story. What has you have to have an optimistic attitude to live to be 100, I would think. How has he kept this optimistic attitude?
Well, I'll tell you, this optimistic attitude, I think it just comes from the people that surround you. You have to keep in the company of positive people. You start going down that path of negativism, and it can just eat you up alive. So I got to tell you, the three kids, I'm the oldest, I'm his only son, and my two younger sisters, we've all been super positive people. And my mom, unfortunately, she's not around anymore, but she was the ultimate most positive person in the entire world, as far as I'm concerned. And so that's what's been surrounding my dad, and we just keep him going. And, you know, I got to tell you, it's tough sometimes to be positive every day. But if you want to know one of my secrets to stay positive, it's read the obituary column every day. And I've always said that to everyone I meet. You start reading that, and you're going to be going, yabba dabba do, I'm not in there today. That's a great day. Right, Dad? And that's what keeps us going. So I would say if anyone out there is not as positive as they'd like to be, just crack open to that obit column, and you should be just going, hallelujah, it's a great day. And that's what we do every day. Every day is a wonderful day. Right, Dad?
Right.
You happy today?
I am.
And you're going to be even happier tomorrow. We're going to be leaving Washington, and we're going to be flying nonstop to Southern California for a few weeks to get ready for this next big tour.
Okay.
You're getting on a plane nonstop. You're going to fly right over the heartland, Dad.
Okay.
Are you up for flying?
Yes.
And then another thing I'm announcing right now over the radio, no one knows, but I'm going to take you June 6th to the 75th anniversary of D-Day. I'm going to take you to Normandy in France.
Wow! That's what I want to be. Really be very, very anxious to do.
Well, that's what I'm going to do. That was going to be your surprise, but I decided to announce it on this radio station, this fabulous radio station that's being broadcast to millions and millions of people.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
See that?
Yes.
Everyone now knows at the same time as you that you're going to be there, and all the generals at the Pentagon are going to be there, too, and they're going to be welcoming you as one of the oldest World War II veterans in the country.
Wow.
You ready for that?
I am ready for that. Oh. I look forward to it.
That's my dad. You hear that? Positivism.
What a great thing that will be. Now, how did that all come about?
You know, things are transitional. It came about because when we were visiting the Pentagon and the generals were telling us about, you know, they're all going and they're prepping and getting ready for that, we said to them last Friday when we were inside the Pentagon, you know what? How about if my father, Sidney, were to take a plane and come over and join you? They said, we would be honored. I thought they'd say elated. They said honored. And you just let us know and we're going to bring them up on the big stage. I said, wow, we cannot miss that opportunity. And you know, if you think about it in life, what is life really about? It's about recognizing opportunities and, I guess, taking advantage of opportunities. And if we didn't go to D-Day on the 75th anniversary, you know, we might as well just go home, pack it up and go home. They say, go big or go home. And we're not going home to San Diego, Dad. We're going to stay on the road, spread the good cheer, the goodwill, meet great people, and you're going to see Normandy, France on June 6th.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. We're going to do it, Dad. We're going to do it.
Okay, dope.
And I'll put it out there, too. Any other opportunities that come along the way, we're up for. I mean, even if someone's listening right now and says, hey, I've got a great place in Put-in Bay, and you got to come July 4th, maybe we'll end up there, or Kelly Island, or or maybe the Flats in Cleveland, or Columbus along High Street, or down in Cincinnati. Mm. Who knows?
Well, it's a tremendous idea and a tremendous experience. Now, of the people who you have come in contact with, a lot of great people, former President Bush, who's no longer with us, and a lot of great governors, is there some memory or instance that sticks out in your mind?
Wow, that's a real good question, because every day just keeps getting better. And as I go in reverse, for example, yesterday we had a half-hour meeting with a person named John Podesta, and he used to be the chief of staff of President Clinton. What an honor it was to be in his office. We're meeting so many fabulous governors. We really liked Governor Ricketts of Nebraska, Governor Bryant of Mississippi, Governor Cuomo of New York City. Spent an hour with my father. I kid you not when I say this. They both hugged each other, and they both cried. They just got it. My father, Governor Cuomo's father, Mario, that's who my dad reminded him of. And it was just one of the most touching moments of our lives. That might have been one of the greatest memories of our tour. But I just want you to know everything. For example, Governor Rick Scott said, come to the office early, come to the mansion at 7:15, and let's get together. And we did. We drove in the middle of the night to be there. And these are some of the stories that we'll never forget. And going from Mississippi, Governor Bryant, he didn't want us to leave. He treated us to a nice event at night, and we had to see Governor Abbott the next morning in Austin, Texas. And so there I am, driving my 100-year-old father in the middle of the night, 400 miles to Austin. But we made it. That also was a highlight.
You know, what has it been like to spend this time and do these extraordinary things with your father at this point in his life?
I got to tell you, it's like a rocket ship. It starts off a little bit slow, and it's fabulous, it's wonderful, and then it just jettisons off into the stratosphere, into the ionosphere, and that's what's happening now. This is a real pivotal moment. The 19 governors so far has been incredible. We went all the way to Alaska to meet Governor Bill Walker, and then all the way to Hawaii to meet Governor Ige. But it's and remember, it's not just about meeting governors. It's about setting the tone and letting people know, the press know, that we're in that state to meet the everyday, regular, average people. That's really what this tour is about. It's not just about meeting celebrities and governors, but that's nice when it comes along the way. But now, this is the defining moment. Speaking to you on this radio station and having my dad, you know, been on David Muir World News Tonight, being here in Bethesda, Maryland, going to the corporate headquarters of Marriott, then we're going over to the corporate headquarters of Hilton. And then we met a gentleman last night who's willing to donate a bus for the tour. It's amazing what's happening. We don't know what's ahead down the road, but I got to tell you, it's like the light at the end of the tunnel is so bright, it's almost blinding right now. And what we're doing and what we're going to accomplish together, we just can't wait. We live for every single day, and we're enjoying every single moment of our lives. And I'd just like to impart that I really wish more people out there could come and join us, visit us, see us, bring your parents, bring your grandparents. We love meeting everyone of all walks of life, and particularly if you can bring another World War II veteran around, it would be great. We only see a handful of them, and they're so rare, but we'd love to meet them all along the way as well.
Absolutely. Now, when we talk about World War II, what does your father remember about World War II? What sticks out in his mind?
You know, Dad, when you were in World War II, first of all, why did you join the Army when you were 21 years old, and it was 9 months before the war broke out, Pearl Harbor? You joined 9 months before Pearl Harbor. Why did you join the Army?
I joined because I wanted to fight Hitler.
Okay, that's a good reason. And so then you went to Fort Dix, New Jersey.
Fort Dix, New Jersey.
And Fort Jackson.
Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
And Fort Seibert.
Fort Seibert, now.
In Alabama.
Alabama, yes.
And Tallulah Falls, Toccoa, Georgia.
Georgia.
And even you ended up out in Plentywood, Montana, didn't you? Plentywood, Montana?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
And I'll tell you something. All along the way, my dad was always a day away from going to some major battleground and just awaiting orders. Well, one time, they said, okay, it looks like you're going to be going out tomorrow. We're going to do one last practice. They had a mock German village. I think it was at Camp Seibert, Dad. And you actually end up falling into a foxhole and you broke your ankle, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
You ended up in the infirmary for 6 weeks, and your whole regiment went without you to the Battle of the Bulge.
Right.
And you never heard from any of them again.
That's so.
And, you know, I call that the lucky break, because after my dad healed, he went off to serve in India, right?
Yes.
You served in the CBI Theater, China, Burma, India.
Yes.
And then you ended up coming back to the United States by ship in 1946. And so you were in the Army a total of 5 years, right?
Yes, I guess so.
That's right. So, you know, there were so many memories of World War II, but just not knowing every day where he was going to go. That was the one thing that he always remembered. We read all of his letters.
Absolutely. Now, the end of the war, for those of us who weren't around, it seemed like such a happy, prosperous time. What was the end of the war like when he came back home?
You know, that's a very good question. We're going to ask my dad to see if you remember. You remember where you were when you landed back in the United States, the end of the war? Was there a celebration? Was there a parade?
No.
Was there recognition?
No, nothing. Nothing of the sort.
Nothing of the sort. And then you went off, I remember, to North Carolina. You taught at Duke University, didn't you? You taught at Duke, and you taught at North Carolina State, right? You taught geology?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So you see, yeah, right after the war, they just didn't have, at least for my father, any sort of recognition or parades, but he just went off to join civilian life, became a college professor.
You know, Paul, it's interesting because so many people, Tom Brokaw, has called this the greatest generation. What do you think it was about that group? Your father was a member of it. What's your opinion on that?
My opinion about that quote-unquote greatest generation, and I'm a little reticent about saying the word greatest generation because that almost denigrates all the other wonderful, wonderful generations we've had since. But in using that term, the greatest generation, see, that was a fight that really affected the United States. It's one of the last wars that affected our country. They rose up. They didn't think twice because this country was on the verge of being attacked and then was attacked. And once it was attacked, there was no second thought. And when you go to the World War II Museum and you see that poignant movie narrated by Tom Hanks, when we were attacked, the United States had the 16th largest army in the world behind Romania If you can believe that, that's just incredulous. And for us to then, garner everyone to fight that war that needed to be fought that affected this country, and then win, was just it was just incredulous and just a miracle, really. And for my dad to be a part of that is just it's so wonderful, so heartwarming to know that my dad, you know, never had a second thought about joining, and so many other Americans did too. They just went off to war, and it hasn't really happened ever since. And maybe I should say, fortunately, it hasn't happened ever since. And if ever in the future something like that were to happen, maybe there would be another greatest generation that would rise up and do that. But fortunately, we've been in an era of peace thanks to the valiant efforts of the World War II fighters who are now our veterans, or the living ones who are now our veterans.
I'm sure during your travels you've come in contact with veterans from other wars. What has that been like?
Well, all veterans are just an amazing breed of people that fought for their ideals, fought for our country, and the word veteran means really to have survived a war. So when we come across other veterans, like Korean War veterans, Vietnam War veterans, Afghan, Afghan and Iraqi veterans, we share a common bond. There is definitely a bond, and they're. But I got to tell you, they turn around to my father, and they are so respectful, and they say, "Sir, thank you for your service." And we say back, "No, thank you for your service." And they said, "No, we wouldn't be here without you." And if you really think about it, at that point, we just stop. You're right. They're right. If not for the World War II veterans, there would be no other battles that we would be fighting. We wouldn't be where we are today. We wouldn't have radio stations like this to broadcast on. And we more than likely would not be speaking English to those that did survive. So it's just an amazing, amazing feat what was accomplished in World War II. Hopefully the last of the world wars as we know it. Hopefully.
Absolutely. I think we all can echo that. Paul, spending this time with your father, have you learned anything you didn't know before about him?
Yes. He has a voracious appetite. I'm the one that has to say, slow down, slow down. he'll eat everything in front of him. There's nothing he won't eat. It's amazing. That's one thing I've learned. But no, that's a little silly, I know. But what I've actually learned is that he has the capability to go on and on and on. He doesn't say at 7 p.m., okay, lights out, I want to go to sleep, I'm tired. He actually oftentimes at 10 at night says, okay, come on, where are we going? I go, Dad, I'm a little tired. And he says, come on, I thought we were going out to a movie. I go, oh, that's right. Okay, we'll go, Dad. And so I'm learning that it's like ceaseless. He's just, he rarely wants to go to sleep. And I've learned that he has the power to keep going and going, and he's giving me energy, and I'm two-thirds his age. I'm 63. So that's another thing I'm learning, and I'm realizing that older people don't need a whole lot of sleep. You don't have to mollycoddle them. You know, just because he's in a wheelchair, he's like saying, giddy up, come on, let's go. And it's reminiscent of his first memory when you were a little kid and you were born in New York City. Do you remember your first memory, Dad?
Yes,
a horse.
Horse drawn fire,
Well, that's what you are now. You're like a horse-drawn fire engine. And we got a lot of fires to put out. So let's go. Giddy up. Giddy up.
Okay. Giddy up.
Let's go.
Let's go.
You know, Paul, this really is such a great thing for veterans. It's such a great thing for your father. It's such a great thing for all these people in these states. But also, it seems to be a lesson in spending time with parents who may be elderly. What advice would you give to somebody whose parents are getting on in years?
That's a very good question. I'll tell you, I will give you some advice. First of all, parents are, of course, what brought us in this world. And for any kids out there to say, oh, let's put them in an old age home and let's, you know, go about our lives, you know, that's just, to me, that's just no way to treat parents. I think parents should be spending more time at the kids' homes, or the kids should be visiting their parents and keeping them in homes. I think the parents, if they spend more time with their elderly parents, they'll get to know them, of course, better and have a much bigger respect for them. I also feel that anyone that served in any war, they should go out to an Army Navy store and get a cap and don a uniform. When I say don a uniform, just a hat is like a uniform. They served in World War II, put a cap on them that says World War II. Because when I take this cap off, I'm doing it right now, I'm looking at my dad. He's just another older man, maybe sitting on a porch in Florida looking at the Atlantic Ocean. I put the hat on, and there it is. He is a very respectful gentleman. And so they always say the uniform makes the man. Well, just a little cap can go a long way. So that's what I would suggest. Someone that's in the Korean War or the Vietnam War, go get them a cap. Let them wear it. If they want to wear it, let them wear it proudly. And that would be my word of advice that young people could do immediately. And then the last thing I'll say is, whenever it's their birthday, go to a place like Party City and get a balloon and proudly display it on their birthday. Right now, my dad has 6 balloons. I can't believe they have balloons that say 100th birthday. And ever since we put the balloons on his wheelchair and his cap that says World War II veteran, holy smokes, I've never seen the accolades he's received and people and the renditions of happy birthday everywhere we go. And that's another thing I would say. So put a cap on your parents who proudly served in one of the wars. Put a cap on if they didn't serve in a war. You know, they can proudly wear a cap that says where they're from. And get some balloons and tie it to their wheelchair or just have them, you know, march proudly with it. And there it is. That's my word of advice. And are you enjoying yourself, Dad?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Yes, you are.
I am glad.
And there it is.
Now, so the plan right now is you're going to head back tomorrow to California. And how do you see the next few months playing out?
Well, we're going to spend almost a month in California where we're from. We're from San Diego, just dotting our I's and crossing our T's, getting everything ready for the next wave. And then we're going to start hitting the states that have invited us, like Ohio and Missouri and Maryland. And we're going to go on that big, nice, wonderful bus tour and going over to Europe for D-Day. And that's what we're going to do. So basically, we're going to repack our bags for another journey of maybe about 9 months. We have no intentions of going back to San Diego, and we're just going to be on the road. And we're very excited about it.
Yeah.
There's 7 days in each week, and we're going to utilize every one of the 7 days every week doing something fun, exciting, memorable for not only my dad, but for all the hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions, that will be coming into our path. We have no idea what's down the road, but we do know one thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful road, and we can't wait to take that road. We're wherever it leads. And I'll say one last thing. We're actually happy we don't know where the end of the road is, because that's the exciting part of life, not knowing exactly where you're going, but just knowing you're on course, you're on a mission, and we will accomplish that mission. Right, Dad?
Certainly.
Absolutely. Well, we do want to mention again, we've been chatting with Paul and Sydney Walton. Sydney is 100 years old as of just a few days ago, World War II veteran, taking a no-regrets tour across the United States. Going to go home for a little bit to California here and then head out on a leg of this tour, which is going to be great. You can follow all the great things, the pictures, the tour itself, make invitations for Sydney and Paul by going to GoSydneyGo.com. What a pleasure it's been to talk to both of you, and I hope to see you when you come to Ohio.
Absolutely. We look forward to that. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Isn't it an amazing story? What fun. 740-383-9944. We got about 7 minutes left in the program today. GoSydneyGo.com. 100-year-old war veteran Sydney Walton, World War II, traveling this country. And apparently he's met with Governor DeWine, and they're going to set up a meeting here in Ohio, and he'll be here. So just check out the website, GoSydneyGo.com, and you'll know when he's coming to Ohio. Okay, telephone lines are open. As I say, we still have about 7 minutes left in the program today, 740-383-9944. And do want to emphasize again that coming up this Friday, March the 1st, be the 25th anniversary of Mary Ellen Withrow being sworn in as the 40th Treasurer of the United States. And we're going to celebrate as myself and Terry Tackett and Sean Kraft and Mike Wilson will be heading to Toledo, Ohio, to the most famous hot dog restaurant in the world, Tony Paco's, to do a live broadcast from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with Mary Ellen. Tony Paco's has a long tradition of having very well-known people, including former First Lady of the United States, Nancy Reagan, Burt Reynolds, and Mr. T, signing hot dog buns to display on their walls forever. And on March the 1st at about 11:30, Mary Ellen Withrow will join that group by signing one of those buns. It's going to be something else. You can listen live on the internet at WWGH1071.com or by downloading the free TuneIn app on any mobile device and searching WWGH. Now, pictures will also be available, so you can check those pictures out on the Facebook page by going to WWGH Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, pictures, updates, all kinds of stuff there. Remember, Tony Paco's is located at 1902 Front Street, Toledo, Ohio, 43605, and they open at 10:30 on Friday morning. And as I said, today we learned that Mary Ellen will be signing the bun at 11:30 on Friday morning during our live broadcast, which will kick off at 11:15 and run through 3 p.m., and we will all be trying those Hungarian hot dogs. Although there is some conjecture, are they Hungarian hot dogs or are they sausages? Has anybody been to Tony Paco's and want to weigh in on this? Or weigh in on the veteran we had on today, Sydney Walton? What an amazing story that is. 740-383-9944. Give me a ring. We would love to hear from you in the last few minutes we have in the program here today. Do want to remind you that Voice of a People comes up today at 4:10 p.m. in the pastor spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker and Terry Tackett at 5:10, so it's a full afternoon here on WWGH Radio. But a really great story, Sydney Walton traveling around with his son. And isn't it nice that people are spending time with their family members in that regard at this particular point in their life? Really a tremendous, tremendous thing, to be sure. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. It's going to be a really interesting next few days here. I do want to remind everybody, the amazing Kreskin will be with us tomorrow. He's got a new book, and he'll be joining us tomorrow at 12:30. So all kinds of good stuff coming up here in the week. Always something going on here at WWGH Radio.
Certainly an interesting conversation with Satch Sullinger this morning. You know, that's one thing I hope we're able to do, is really start a conversation, not only here on the airwaves, but start a conversation in your living room, start a conversation in your car, start a conversation at work or wherever you're listening to this, because it's very important to talk. We do live in the age of technology now, and that's all well and good, and we all use it, but you've got to be able to communicate. Bach Schumann, the human voice, is still, I think, one of the most important instruments that we have as human beings. If we don't talk, if we don't share opinions, if we don't share ideas, we cannot go forward. Can you imagine if through history people did not get together for lunch and dinner and meetings and share ideas and share opinions? And you don't always have to agree, but you can share, you can talk, you can be a part of the game. Not everybody always gets everything they want, but it's nice to get part of it. It's nice to be heard. It's nice to weigh in. It's nice just to be, well, as I say, a part of the conversation, which is what we really try to do here. 58 minutes coming up on 59 past the hour. If you want to call in, we still do have time for you. 740-383-9944. Friday, 11:15 a.m. till 3 p.m. from Tony Pacos, Mike Wilson, Terry Tackett, Sean Kraft, the whole group, celebrating Mary Ellen Withrow. What fun that's going to be. Also want to remind you here that here's a note. The Marion Merchants Baseball Club has set the Marion Presidential Youth Summer Recreational League registration dates for the upcoming 2019 baseball and softball leagues. The dates are Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. on February 27th, March the 6th, March the 13th, and March the 20th. There will also be dates on Saturday afternoons from 3:30 to 5:30 on March the 2nd, March the 9th, and March the 16th. All registration will be done at Grant Middle School in the gym lobby. The cost is $50 per child with a family cap of $125. This is for boys and girls from 5 to 16 years old. The age cutoff date is April 1st. The leagues will be broken up as follows. 5 to 6 year olds, girls and boys together, will play t-ball. 7 and 8 year old will play coach pitch, baseball and softball. The 9 and 10 year olds and the 11 and 13 year olds and the 14 and 6 year olds will have their separate leagues. The 14 and 16-year-olds will start play on May the 1st, and all other age groups will start on June the 1st. This year, for the first time ever, the senior boys and girls will be playing in the Marion County League alongside teams from Delaware and Marysville. Because of this, there is a deadline of March the 10th for the 14 and 16-year-olds, no exceptions. They need to notify league officers of how many teams they will have in the county league. The deadline for all other ages is May the 1st. If you need any additional information, call or text 740-244-1157. That's 740-244-1157. And share this information with anybody you know. It is going to be fun. Summer, spring, not too far off after this old Ohio winter. Don't forget, Friday from Tony Pacos, 11:15 until 3. Coming up to later on today, Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5, and The Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 5:10 to 6, and programming right around the corner. But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Phyllis Diller.
But it was kind of interesting because Phyllis Diller kind of always played on this, hey, I'm...